إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. بعد My dear brothers and sisters, we continue with the conversations on the question of monitoring conversations. And today I want to remind myself and you, if you see the one thing that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam changed in the perception and in the thinking of the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in, as a consequence of which Islam came into their lives, and in consequence of which they became radiyallahu anhum ajma'in, that was their focus on what is important in life. As I have mentioned many times before in the Sirah lectures and so on, if you look at the kind of society there was in Makkah, it was very, very similar to the society that we have today. It was a materialistic society where wealth was the single determining factor of somebody's status. Status was not based on caste, like in other places. Status was not based on anything else. It was based on wealth, how much money you had. So it was a society where upward mobility was possible depending on wealth. Indian society, by contrast of that time or even now, now it's much different, but not too different, but still it is some different. But Indian society is caste based. So upward mobility is impossible. A Shudra can never become a Brahmin, no matter how wealthy he is. The Brahmin may come to his house, and the Brahmin may, the Shudra builds a temple, the Brahmin may work for him for a salary. But the status of the Brahmin will be way beyond the status of the Shudra, and that will never change, no matter what. So upward mobility is not possible. In feudal societies, in British society, for example, upward mobility is practically impossible because, again, it is caste-based in a different way. It's not caste in religion, but caste in economic status. So somebody who are what they call the gentry by birth, you are born there. That's it. I mean, there's no other way of, you can't be reborn into that thing there. But the society of Makkah was very much like American society, or like most of our consumerist culture today, where upward mobility is possible. You can be anything and you can become the president of the country, there is no problem. The only single determining factor is money. How much money do you have? And that factor, combined with the fact that there was no particular focus on how you got the money. So it didn't matter how you got the money, as long as you had the money, you could move upwards. And that was the kind of society there was. There was, therefore, money was king, money was God. It was a polytheistic society, it was a multicultural, pluralistic society, and so on and so on. So, in that society, how did Rasulullah ﷺ bring about change, and such revolutionary change in such a short period of time? If you look at it, it was a switch in the mind. And the switch in the mind was a focus from changing the focus from this dunya to akhirah. So therefore, the focus changed from material possessions to character. Focus changed from material possessions to taqwa, to ta'aluk ma'a Allah, to the focus and fikr of the akhirah. And because of these things, the difference changed, where the leader of society changed from Abu Lahab to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And what was the difference between the two? The difference between the two was, one was considered to be the leader based on his amount of money, and the other one was the leader based on his character. So in our conversations, therefore, we must keep this in mind, and we must think about and say that in my conversation, what is reflected when I talk about people? What kind of people do I mention with respect and with honor and so on? I'm not saying necessarily that you have to do the opposite every time you talk about somebody. You don't have to denigrate them, you don't have to insult them. But at the same time, what do you bring about when you speak to your children, when you speak to other people, when you think in your mind, speak to yourself, who do you see as role models? Conscious role models or unconscious role models? Who are they? Are they the billionaires and millionaires of the world? Are they the big political leaders of the world? Whose names occur the most in your conversation? Or do you mention the Sahaba, Ridwanullahi alayhim ajmain? Do you mention the Anbiya? Do you mention even people of this world today, Muslim or non-Muslim, who are remarkable people in terms of their character? Who do you mention? That is the thing to monitor in our lives, because the people we look up to are the people we talk about. And the people we talk about show what our own orientation is. So if I'm talking constantly about money and who has what kind of car and who has how many planes and who has what and who went for a holiday here and what kind of brands they use and what kind of clothes they wear and so on and so on. If that is my conversation, then that is my focus. It's a dunya, 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 dunya. On the other hand, if I am looking at, I am saying that look at so and so. Here is Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, there is Warren Buffett, they put the money together for charity. So I am not talking about Muslims, I am talking about people who are not Muslim, but I am talking about people whose orientation is more to help people to do something good in the world, to leave behind a legacy of honor. So it doesn't necessarily have to be Muslims, it can be anybody, provided focus is what? I am talking about Nelson Mandela, I am talking about somebody with character. Somebody who did this when he got power, he forgave his enemies, right? So we're talking about people of character. So what is that conversation? Therefore, we need to think about that. The second one is, where do I see benefits? In maal or amal? Because this is the other issue constantly, and that is really the focus and of our success and failure. Is it maal or amal? For example, if you are traveling, many times we have this conversation. If you are traveling, we have a choice of traveling on a Friday or not traveling on a Friday, right? So either you travel on a Thursday, so you are in the other place by Friday, or you leave on Friday afternoon. Reason being, I want to pray Jummah in a masjid. Yeah? Now, at the same time, you will have somebody who will give you the fatwa. There are always people with the fatwas. And then fatwa is not wrong. The person will say, "Arey, in travel, Jummah is not fard. So, kya farak pard?" That is the issue. The issue is not that the fatwa is wrong. Fatwa is right. I mean, in travel, Jummah is not fard. But do you make the effort to say, even though it is not fard, I would like to pray Jummah. Even if I am traveling somewhere else, I would like to pray Jummah because it is a great ibadah, because I want to go to the masjid, because I want to listen to a khutbah, because this is the Sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Or do you feel you look for loopholes of how can I avoid doing something, even if I am avoiding it in a halal way? So also with fasting, for example, right? So maal or amal. Now fasting, again, even fard, Ramadan fast is not fard during travel. So on the one hand, you will find somebody who will say, even though it is not fard, I will fast because it is Ramadan, because I am traveling by plane, I am not going, you know, sitting on some camel through the desert. How does it matter? There is no really hardship involved. Or somebody might say, no, I am leaving it because, you know, I am traveling. Now, somebody may be leaving it in order to fulfill a sunnah of leaving. I am not talking about that. To do something where an ijazah is given, where something facility is given to choose the facility also is not wrong. Alhamdulillah, it is a good thing. But again, that niyyah is only yours. And you know, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what you are doing. Right? So, is the focus on maal or amal? Similarly, if you look at difficulties when something happens. One of my teachers used to say that if you get a headache, what is the first thing you think of? And that's for us to monitor, nobody else. What is the first thing? Is the first thing you think of the dua of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam for relief of pain? Is that the first thing you do? Or is the first thing you think, go find a Tylenol? Now, finding a Tylenol is not haram. Taking medicine is not haram. Alhamdulillah, there's nothing wrong with that. But where is your focus? Is the focus on dua, or is the focus on finding a material solution for something? Even though finding a material solution is not wrong. But we are looking here at saying, what is it that takes me close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How do I monitor my conversation? So even in the conversation, the moment somebody talks about some difficulty or you talk about some difficulty, what is the first, you know, word that we speak? Find this person, go to that person, do this, do that, what not? Or do we say, make 2 rakat of salah and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu for help? Pray tahajjud and make dua for help. Then go do this, this, this. As I'm repeating myself, I know, but I don't want you to go off with some impression that I am anti-material or anti... No, Allah created this dunya for us to use it. And alhamdulillah, any of the scientific developments, anything good, which is halal, which is jais, is perfectly good to use, we should use. So, I'm not against any of that. But I'm just saying, where is the focus? Where do you think the result will come from? Do you use the material knowing that the result will come only from Allah? Or do you use the material thinking that the material will give me result? Which one? Now again, it's not a question to answer to somebody else, because if you ask someone this question to the face, any Muslim will say, no, result only comes from Allah. But you know what? He knows what is in his heart. She knows what is in her heart. Another big thing, and inshallah we'll do a series on this separately, but since we are in this business of maal or amal, when you are looking for a spouse, when you are looking for a spouse for your children or for yourself, what is the first thing you think of? What is the first thing the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said look for? He said, look for the one who has deen. He said, a person is married for 4 reasons. He did not say, go marry them for the... He said, normally this is what happens. A person is married for 4 reasons. But you look for the deen. And that is one of the... That is the 4th reason in that list which he mentioned. Look for the deen. So when you are looking for a spouse, what are you looking for? Today, you can say almost 100%, wallah alam, I'm not saying that this is entirely true, but almost 100%. The first, second, third, fourth thing you look for is only dunya. How much education, how much money, family that she comes from, he comes from, how much money do they have? What are the career prospects, so on, all of which is correct. Nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying go marry your daughter or son to some loser who can't even take care of himself. No. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, if you are capable of getting married, then marry. He did not say, if you are religious, get married. He said, if you are capable of getting married, get married. Otherwise, he said, fast. So, nothing wrong in looking for material, for career options and education and so on. But what is the first thing you look for? That the point is that. I'm not saying don't find somebody, find an ignorant, uneducated person. No. Find the best educated person. But in that educated person, is the first consideration for you, what is the deen of this person like? Is this person particular about salah? Are they particular on the sunnah? What kind of aqidah they have? And so on. Is their earning halal? And so on and so forth. Which one is it? And that's very, very important for us to think about as far as that is concerned. Maal or amal. And finally, and most importantly, and I think that brings us back also to marriage among one of the things, is do you look for the rida of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or do you look for the rida of people? Because one of the major, major, major reasons, if not the major reason of why Muslims do things which are haram, which they know are haram, is because they say, nahi, loga kya bolenge? What will people say? Fact is, people will say nothing. Fact also is that whatever people say doesn't make a damn of a difference, makes no difference. First of all, people are not so interested in you that they are going to hook their whole life on, you know, what you are doing. They don't care. It's a matter of comment. If somebody makes a comment, so what? Big deal. If they say good, so what? If they don't say good, so what? But our whole life, we do things, we know it is wrong. But we do things saying, no, what will people say? What will people think? So where is the focus? Is it the rida of Allah or is it the rida of people? So in our conversations, are we talking about the rida of Allah? Are we saying to ourselves, are we saying to our children, do we say in our homes and so on, will Allah be pleased or not? Which one is it? So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to please Him. So material possessions or character, maal ya amal, and the rida of Allah or the rida of people. Which are the things that are important for us? We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with us and never to be displeased. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.